day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by whom we must be saved." And then reading from the Gospel of John, commencing at verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father."
Let me just firstly say thank you, and a continuing level of gratefulness from me to you for your continuing trust in my ministry with you after receiving the vote to continue for another 5 years. I'm thankful for the confidence we have that God has led us this far, and that God will continue to lead us and be our guide and ever-present companion in the journey that lies ahead. Let us pray. O God, who is forever with us, whether we are aware or whether our awareness is absent, through all life and all situations, with all people and beyond, may your great and glorious name be our constant companion. May our hope be found in you. May our compassion be feathered out through you. And may the words that you offer to us today be heard and taken into ourselves, not just for our own sake, but for the sake of the world around us. We pray this in your name, O great and holy God. Amen. I begin with the words of the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd. And I am content in the knowledge that forever I will be in the company of the good shepherd. For in his company I am assured of safety and of provision. Even when I am in need, the good shepherd will not leave me without that which I need most. his eternal care and present help in this moment. The Lord is my shepherd, and this moment is the only moment that matters. And the shepherd knows this and will take care of me because he cares for my worth. He cares for the worth of my soul, in which is found the flaming meaning of who I am. There are others who may have moments when they care for the worth of my soul, but the Good Shepherd never ceases in his way of care for me. The Good Shepherd trusts me and will let me come in and will let me go out and will always direct me to the places where I can find green pasture. The Good Shepherd will seek places where satisfaction and comfort daily are my gift. And even if I am to encounter that moment where fear becomes the shadow in one of life's many valleys, the Good Shepherd doesn't desert me. And I'm comforted by the presence of the Shepherd. I am comforted and deeply assured I am okay. The Good Shepherd is the shepherd of one flock, a flock so extensive, so grand in its inclusion, the numbers in this flock are vast beyond my vision. And this is okay, for I am part of this flock. I'm part of something more than just me. And though the numbers are innumerable, the Good Shepherd never loses sight of any of us, for we all have our place. We all have our place. That's an appropriate time for an amen, a hallelujah, a smile of recognition, something. Not even with encouragement. Okay. This is going to be a long 5 years. No, it's too late now. It's too late. We've moved on. The moment's passed, Carol. The Good Shepherd provides for us all. A table laden with milk and honey and wine. The gifts of joy and peace the Good Shepherd provides for us all. And in my assurance I rest. For there is peace. And peace because the Good Shepherd is providing for all. But in that moment when assurance and comfort is mine, I am disturbed by the sight of someone else seated at the table. For in the presence of my enemies, the Good Shepherd has provided for me. I just didn't think that they would be seated at the same table as I. The same table. Not another, but the same. Is this what the psalmist meant when he prayed, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies," that I am now supposed to share and break bread and cup with them who have sought after my life? Am I supposed to break bread? Am I supposed to share the cup with those whose beliefs do not mirror my own? Or who have sought to harm my heart or my body or my mind without or with great and deliberate intention? Am I supposed to break bread even with them? Is this what the Good Shepherd has brought me to? It seems the Good Shepherd keeps an open door policy to the flock of his pasture. And it would seem that any may wander in if they've heard the Good Shepherd call their name. And now sitting here, the very ones with whom I need to extend and practice forgiveness and reconciliation at the same table. The very joy and peace that were mine must now be extended and become the gifts that I share. It would appear that where we would have lines and boundaries and borders and walls and gates of demarcation and exclusion and segregation, the name of the Good Shepherd invites something far greater and deeper than any would imagine. For all humanity find invitation to sit at the table of fellowship and forgiveness and practice the very words which have leaked from our mouths in the humble piety of our praying, forgive us our sin, as we forgive those who have sinned against us at the same table. My Lord and my God, my Good Shepherd, you have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and with your inquiring glance have now left your invitation in my own hands and actions. In the presence of my enemies, my brothers and sisters, whom I have at one time or another excluded, you, my Good Shepherd, call upon me and say to me, for them I lay down my life, and for them I take it back up again. How then shall will you live with those whom you call your enemies, but whom I call part of my flock? This simple and profound truth has the capacity to change the ways in which we inhabit this planet, although it is, if truth be told, more easily spoken than lived. However, is it possible that in our hands and with our tongues the Good Shepherd has blessed us with the capacity and the ability to bless and not to curse? To invite and to welcome rather than to bar the gates and lock the doors? Is it possible we can set ourselves for practices where we are convicted that the Good Shepherd will keep going out looking for sheep that are in other places and with their right names call them his own? And with the assurance of each inhalation, I am convinced that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And with each exhalation, there is assurance. The Good Shepherd is the Good Shepherd of all or none. And so the words of another shepherd who is, in my experience, not like a hired hand ring in my ears. The one great purpose of the church's existence is to share the bread of life, to hold open in its words and actions a place where we can be with Jesus and be channels for his free, unanxious, utterly demanding, grown-up love. Once we recognize God's great secret that we are all made to be God's sons and daughters, we can't avoid the call to see one another differently. No one can be written off. No group, no nation, no minority can just be a scapegoat to resolve our fears and uncertainties. We cannot outsource our pain. We cannot assume that any human face we see has no divine secret to disclose. Those who are culturally or religiously strange to us, those who so often don't count in the world's terms, the old, the unborn, and the disabled. And this is what unsettles our loyalties, conservative or liberal, right-wing or left, national and international. But we have to learn to be human alongside all sorts of others, the ones whose company we don't greatly like, whom we didn't choose, because Jesus is drawing us together into his place and his company. A strange and sad fact, it has occurred to me that this is no longer the Church of Antony, nor is it the Church of, insert your name here. This shepherd goes on to say, living in Jesus' company, I have to live in a community that is more than just the gathering of those who happen to agree with me. Because I need also to be surprised and challenged by the Jesus each of you will have experienced. If all we have to offer is a Jesus who makes sense to me and people like me, we have no saving truth to give. And so we pray, Christ, our shepherd, whose eternal name is good, in you we have no wants, for all our needs are met. You lead us to places where we are nourished. Our souls and our bodies, they find the resources they need. And your voice keeps calling us to follow the right paths, though they may lead in many different directions and into many different places. When we listen well, we discern your voice calling us to blessing. When life gets hard and the road becomes threaded with dark shadows, we are not afraid. In the company of each other, we remember you are with us. Your rod, your staff assure us that your intentions are for our well-being. We remember the table you have prepared is prepared for all, not only for some. The anointing with which you bless us, you seek to bless all. The flowing, living, eternal water overflows in our waiting cups, and when we gather in the same pasture, even if momentarily, we remember it is your goodness and mercy following us all our life. We remember we shall richly live in your house for many long days. Blessed are you, O shepherd, whose name is good. For we are the sheep of your pasture, and our trust and our love and our deep gratitude is always and only ever in you. This we pray in your name, O shepherd, whose name is good.